Extra, extra, Mueller Bulls on the loose. Sybil, come in, Sybil.
General Michael Flynn, former National Security Advisor to President Trump, is being investigated by special counsel for accepting legitimate payments from Turkish companies for researching and exposing wanted terrorist and radical Islamist Fethullah Gulen and his $25-plus billion criminal network in the United States. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller is the special counsel in charge of the case. He is the same Robert Mueller who used his position as director of the FBI to shield and cover up Gulen's criminal terrorist network and operations and take drastic measures to quash a whistleblower's Gulen-related reports. These previous connections and actions by Mr. Mueller create a direct conflict of interest with his current position as a special counsel in Flynn's case and require that he must immediately step down from the case. In May 2017, the Justice Department appointed Mueller, a former FBI director, as a special counsel to oversee the investigation into ties between President Trump's campaign and Russian officials. Not long after being appointed, Mueller began targeting former National Security Advisor Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, expanded the investigation beyond the Russiagate probe, and began a furious pursuit of Flynn's Turkish connections and his vocal stand on the wanted radical Islamic cleric Fethullah Gulen. Mueller's inquiries went from Russia connections to Flynn's outing of Gulen's $25 billion sleeper terror cell in the United States. Not finding any substantial evidence against Flynn within the Russiagate scope, Mueller's team switched gears and started a Turkeygate. Mueller's prosecution team and FBI agents have spent hours going over the details of Mr. Flynn's perfectly legitimate business dealings with a Turkish-American businessman who worked with Flynn's consulting business, the Flynn Intel Group. Why? Because the business arrangements included research for and exposure of the world's largest radical Islamist network operating in the United States for over two decades, the Gulen Network. The targeting of Flynn through consolidated Obama White House leaks and one-sided media attacks began 6 months before the special counsel appointment. It started with an editorial penned by Mr. Flynn on November 8, 2016, when he became the first public official to unabashedly expose the radical cleric long protected by multiple government agencies, the CIA, State Department, and of course the FBI, starting under President Bill Clinton's administration.
Fethullah Gulen and his transnational social movement. I want to thank you for your contributions to America, for your contributions to stronger Turkish-American relationships and better understanding, and especially for your friendship to Hillary and to me.
By writing and publishing this strong commentary, Flynn not only took on the enormously powerful Gulen's terrorist network, but also the wrath of the CIA and the FBI, the intelligence and law enforcement agencies tasked with bringing Gulen into the United States in 1998, his grooming, and his ongoing protection for over two decades. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller was directly involved in quashing and covering up Gulen and Gulen network-related cases within the FBI's counterterrorism, counterintelligence, and white-collar crime divisions. The dossiers and mountains of criminal and espionage evidences on Gulen's network resided in multiple FBI field offices with the FBI's Washington, D.C., Chicago, and New Jersey field offices being the three most important investigative centers on the case.
It's clear that it should go forward because the Justice Department's own Inspector General concluded that her allegations were fully supported and that the FBI terminated her services because she made them.
Look, when the Attorney General came initially and invoked the state secret privilege, okay, He cited two reasons: to protect certain sensitive diplomatic relations and to protect certain foreign business relations of the United States. Now, they are saying that whole information, everything, is classified. We don't know what diplomatic relations they are referring to. They must be ashamed of it because they don't want to mention it. So we have certain diplomatic relations that prevents criminals being, you know, prosecuted here. And I'm talking about the criminals in the United States of America, American citizens. I'm not referring to only foreigners.
Mr. Mueller was the primary official responsible for the invocation of the state secrets privilege, gag orders, and retroactive classification of congressional records in my case, the Sybelle Edmonds case, a large part of which pertained to criminal, terrorism, and espionage-related operations conducted by Fethullah Gulen and his network in the United States. Gulen's money laundering and terrorism-related operations have been known to the FBI for two decades. It was only after the attempted coup in Turkey that some of these facts began surfacing in the mainstream media. Despite the publication of mounting criminal evidence against Gulen's operations, to this date, the FBI has continued shielding this terrorist. As the longest-serving FBI director, Mueller was in charge of the FBI's investigations and pursuit of Gulen and his network for 11 years. During his tenure, he not only continued the same policy and practices of his predecessors in shielding and protecting Gulen's criminal network, he went even further by quashing and covering up reports and cases involving Gulen's terrorist criminal espionage operations through retaliations, invocations of the state secrets privilege, and hindering congressional oversight and investigations through retroactive classification. Mueller, due to his direct involvement as former FBI director and his role in covering up and protecting Gulen Network's criminal operations within the United States by shutting down pertinent FBI investigative operations and by transferring certain terrorism-related Gulen files to the Counterintelligence Division, has a major conflict of interest as a special counsel targeting Flynn's case as it pertains to exposing the Gulen network and his relationship with Turkish entities sharing the same interest in exposing and extraditing Fethullah Gulen. Thus, Mr. Mueller must step down from his position as a special counsel in this case.
Thank you, Sybil and News. But now, I promised to go to the century remembering the Balfour Declaration from the Lord that denied sanctuary during the pogrom, so... Because I got a mute on, you dumb bird.
Overdrive in America, spreading propaganda which leads President Wilson under the instructions of American Zionist leader and Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis, reneging on his promise to the electorate and taking America into the First World War on April 6th. As per Rothschild Zionist promise to the British to take America into the war, they decide they want something in writing from the British to prove that they will uphold their side of the bargain. The British Foreign Secretary, Arthur James Balfour, therefore drafts a letter which is commonly known as the Balfour Declaration, which is reprinted below. Foreign Office, November 2nd, 1917. Dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with the Jewish Zionist aspirations which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and it will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. Oh, yeah, and this is by the guy that forbid sanctuary in England during the pogroms that are going on at this time. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours sincerely, Arthur James Balfour. The Rothschilds order the execution of the Bolsheviks. The Rothschilds order the execution by the Bolsheviks they control of Tsar Nicholas II and his entire family in Russia, even though the Tsar had already abdicated on March 2nd.
Head to the 50th anniversary of the USS Liberty and
then to the first blocking their world government plan in 1815 at the Congress of Vienna, and Tsar Alexander II siding with President Abraham Lincoln in 1864. It is extremely important for them to slaughter the entire family, including women and children, in order to make good on the promise to do so made by Nathan Mayer Rothschild in 1815. It is designed to show the world what happens if you ever attempt to cross the Rothschilds.
Let me back up to...
On June 4th, President John F. Kennedy signs executive order 1111.
Back to 4 minutes, he's talking about the founding of the fortune from the Hessian loot. So the Hessian, everybody knows, is German soldiers. They're mercenaries. They take a ton of gold from the genocide in Tarawa and then use it to invest in... 4 minutes. Not close. Okay, we'll mute you while I babble on. Okay. Where were we? A ton of gold in Turtle Island from, so George Windsor pays 40 pounds for scalps to clear the land, and then by the time it's the people of California, it's 25 cents for children. In no case can a white citizen be convicted by the testimony of an Indian. Por supuesto, yo soy mexicano, porque no reconozco esa invasión y genocidio criminal, porque hemos abolido esclavitud aquí mismo hace casi dos siglos. Of course, we abolished slavery here almost two centuries ago, in the 1820s, and then there was the invasion from these... sociopathic, because I guess, that's another question, but let me see where I was on the Rothschild timeline. Oh, yeah, so if this is...
Never mind, I'm glad no gun people.
No. So this is, let me stop at 4, this is DJ Mouse, founding member of Bolsheviks Anonymous. We realize only by appealing to power higher than ourselves can we overcome our disability and be happy hippies, and happy hippies don't kill people. And we certainly don't take Rothschild money like those other Bolsheviks. And anyway, we're recovering from all that. So, but this is DJ Mouse, and this could be called Flowers for Algernon, Palma, Peter, Yahia, and Maria, but that's maybe another show. This is called Mueller's Ghouls because it's around Halloween Day of Dead. And Gulen, the Fetchula Gulen Network, is the one that has had the death squads assassinating 500,000 Syrians, is it? The Arab Sting, it's running up in those kind of numbers. Operation Southern Mistral in 2010. So all the NATO swooped down, bombed Libya. He was the colonel. Then if he had been a leader, he would have abolished. He put it on the ballot, and the Libyans said no. But Saif liberated the MI6's death squads because they said they were sorry. And now he's in political game again. But this is not a political game we're talking about here.
Report was made in connection with that van and that station, and they never wanted to, they don't have caller ID.
You were representing Obama at area code 202-456-1111 and appeal for Leonard's release.
Okay. 1815, five Rothschilds. Rothschild brothers were to supply gold to both Wellington's army through Nathan in England and Napoleon's army through Jacob in France and begin their policy of funding both sides in wars. The Rothschilds love wars because they are massive generators of risk-free debt. This is because they are guaranteed by the government of a country and therefore the efforts of the population of that country, and it doesn't matter if that country loses the war because the loans are given on the guarantee that the victor will honor the debts of the vanquished. Reading from Timeline of the Rothschild Family. While the Rothschilds are funding both sides in this war, they use the banks they have spread out across Europe to give them the opportunity to set up an unrivaled postal service network of secret routes and fast couriers. The post these couriers carried was to be opened up by these couriers and their details given to the Rothschilds, so they always were one step ahead of current events. Furthermore, these Rothschild couriers were the only merchants allowed to pass through the English and French blockades. It was these couriers who also kept Nathan Mayer Rothschild up to date with how the war was going, so he could use that intelligence to buy and sell from his position on the stock exchange in accordance with that intelligence. One of the Rothschild's couriers was a man named Rothworth. When the outcome of the Battle of Waterloo was won by the British, Rothworth took off for the Channel and was able to deliver this news to Nathan Mayer Rothschild a full 24 hours before the Wellington's own courier. At that time, British bonds were called consols, and they were traded on the floor of the stock exchange. Nathan Mayer Rothschild instructed all his workers on the floor to start selling consols. That made all the other traders believe that the British had lost the war, so they started selling frantically. Therefore, the consols plummeted in value, which was when Nathan Mayer Rothschild discreetly instructed his workers to purchase all the consols they could lay their hands on. When news came through that the British had actually won the war, the consols went up to a level even higher than before the war ended, leaving Nathan Mayer Rothschild with a return of approximately 20-1 on his investment. This gave the Rothschild family complete control of the British economy, now the financial center of the world, following Napoleon's defeat, and forced England to set up a new Bank of England, which Nathan Mayer Rothschild controlled. Interestingly, 100 years later, the New York Times would run a story stating that Nathan Mayer Rothschild's grandson had attempted to secure a court order to suppress publication of a book which had this insider trading story in it. The Rothschild family claimed the story was untrue and libelous, but the court denied the Rothschild's request and ordered the family to pay all court costs. Oh, but I forgot, 1861, Lincoln approaches the big banks and they want 24-36% interest on all monies loaned. Lincoln is very angry about this high level interest, so he prints his own debt-free money and informs the public this is now legal tender for both public and private debts. 1862, by April, $449,338,902 worth of Lincoln's debt-free money has been printed and distributed. He states of this, quote, "We gave the people of this republic the greatest blessing they ever had, their own paper money to pay their own debts," unquote. This same year, the Times of London publishes a story containing the following statement: "If that mischievous financial policy, which had its origins in the North American Republic, should become indurated down to a fixture, then that government will furnish its own money without cost. It will pay off debts and be without a debt. It will have all the money necessary to carry on its commerce. It will become prosperous beyond precedent in the history of civilized governments of the world. The brains and the wealth of all countries will go to North America. That government must be destroyed, or it will destroy every monarchy on the globe." Twitter and the monkey man were hard up for cash. They stayed up all night selling cocaine. A cop never
The undercover cop pulled up and said, every one of you's a liar. If you don't surrender now, it's gonna go down to the wire.
And the walls came down, all the way to hell. Never saw them when they're standing, never saw them when they fell.
An ambulance rolled up, a straight trooper close behind.